When the time came for Jesus and Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Holy Spirit, Simeon came into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms, praising God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory of your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment, she came and began to praise God and speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with the wisdom and favor of God was upon him. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our story begins today, our second chapter of Luke's story begins today with Mary and Joseph taking the newborn baby Jesus to the temple to dedicate their firstborn son to God. The miracle baby is God's own son, and the people of God, Mary and Joseph, are blessing God for him. As they enter the temple, they literally run into the man Simeon. Simeon is elderly, and Luke immediately identifies him as a prophet. Remember the classic definition of prophet, one who speaks with God and one who speaks for God. Simeon has a special relationship with the Lord. Luke tells us time and time again, Simeon is filled with the Holy Spirit. His life and his actions are led by the Holy Spirit. And this man of God has spent his lifetime as a watchman, waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting to set his eyes on God's Messiah, as the Holy Spirit has promised him. This is a white-bearded old man haunting the temple. He seems like a character out of the past, but there's something new and exciting about Simeon. He's a forward thinker. He's not a backward thinker. He isn't waiting for it to be 1000 BC again. He isn't waiting to repeat the high times of Judah and waiting for the new David. He is looking forward. He knows that God's Messiah has been promised, and he has spent his lifetime looking for a Messiah that won't just raise up Israel again, but will save all of humanity. As soon as Simeon sees the child, he scoops the tiny Jesus up into his arms. And God, he says, God is at work now. God is on the move now, just as God has always promised. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you, my Lord and my God, have promised. In the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to all the nations and to the glory of your people Israel. Listen again to what Simeon is saying. I have seen the salvation of all people, of all nations, and I have seen God's deliverance to all people. Raising up the child in his arms, he declares, hope is here. Jesus has come to save the world. And through Simeon, the Holy Spirit is declaring that all who believe in eternal life will have life eternal in Jesus Christ. Even though things can be dark and cold, hope is alive. Simeon literally sings out, I can die happy. I have seen God move into the neighborhood, and I have seen the proclamation of the Savior of the world. This prophet does take our hearts and minds back to the glory days of the people of God. Simeon the Wise takes us all the way back to the words of the prophet, Isaiah. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together. My salvation may reach to the end of the earth. This old-fashioned man who quotes Isaiah, who brings Isaiah to us, was way before his time. He says God's salvation is for all people. Jesus is 8 days old, and he makes that prophecy. It took the infant church decades to catch up. And some denominations still make a fuss over who's in and who's out. Yet here, Simeon is proclaiming the salvation of the world when Jesus is 8 days old. And on this, his 218th-ish anniversary of Jesus' birth, can there be any doubt? We are saved by faith alone. We are saved by faith alone. While Simeon is still singing his songs, suddenly Anna appears. Luke tells us in verse 36, there was also a prophet, Anna. You have to know how earth-shattering these words are. This is huge. This is unprecedented, nearly unprecedented. Prophet Anna. She is only one of 5 women in the whole Bible who are called prophet, and she's the only one in the New Testament. She has incredible credibility. She was of great age, having lived with her husband 7 years, and after her marriage, then as a widow, to the age of 84. Her great age also harkens back to the time of Moses and Abraham and the other prophets who lived so long. In the first century Middle East, life expectancy was between 30 and 35 years. Now, the original Greek is unclear. The New Revised Standard Version and other translations put Anna at 84 years old. Other translations, which I like, read that she was married for 7 years, and then she was widowed, and she lived as a widow for 84 years. So conservatively speaking, we can estimate her age to be about 104. We're not sure of that, but we know that she has, like Moses and Abraham and Methuselah, gained years and years and accumulated wisdom and knowledge through those years. So Anna is not only a prophet, but she is a prophet among the prophets. Talk about someone who seems old-fashioned. It's like the ancient prophets have come to life again. And she never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer day and night. Again, other translations read, she never left the temple area serving God, worshiping through fasting and prayer day and night. Day and night, since she was widowed at the age of 20, she has served God and served the people of God through prayer. She lived in the temple with God for eons. Anna the prophet is one who speaks with God, and now she speaks for God as she sees the Savior of the world. We can pretty much guess that her prayers were set Jewish ritual prayers that she recited over and over, and her prayers were from the heart, being in God's presence, whispering to the Lord, listening as the Lord whispered to her. Good lesson. Praying isn't just talking to God, but being quiet sometimes in the Lord, sometimes hearing unexpected, even things we don't want to hear. Now, the last couple of weeks, I've asked you to consider your call to the deacon's ministry. We need people to serve as deacons. But I have to tell you, this week, the phrase, Anna served God through worship, prayer, and fasting, jumped out at me. I can't remember whether I heard it in a sermon or I read it in one of his books, but Billy Graham tells the story that he received a letter from an elderly woman, and it was a letter of apology. She was apologizing that she could no longer serve God or the Billy Graham ministries because of her age and her infirmities. Billy Graham, being Billy Graham, picks up and goes to her house. And he asked, "Do you read your Bible every day?" And she said, "Yeah." And he said, "Do you pray for me?" She said, "Of course I do, every day." And then he said, "Do you pray that others may come to know Christ?" She says, "Yes, every day." And the great evangelist became fierce, out of character fierce. He looked at her and said, "Then don't tell me that you're not serving God. You are doing the very best service you can do. Your prayers are your ministry." God uses us, whether we're perceived as great people like Dr. Graham and old Simeon and Anna, or if it's just you and me. You have to realize that the society in Jesus' time perceived Anna as nothing. She was a nobody. Luke says that her father was Phanuel from the tribe of Asher. That's the only mention we have of Phanuel in the whole Bible. Probably a nobody. The tribe of Asher was the last, the very last of the 12 tribes to be blessed by Moses in his farewell address. She is a woman, so she is nothing more than chattel. She is a widow, so she has no rights in the society. She is a nobody, but the Holy Spirit raised her up, and she is prophet. Like Simeon, Anna is one who speaks with and for God. Like Simeon, she witnesses about a child. She holds hope in her hands. Life, new life. After 105 years of waiting, she has hope in her arms. These two people represent faith and hope at its very best. They are devout, obedient, constant in prayer, led by the Holy Spirit at home in their church, and longing, constantly anticipating and hoping that God's promises will be fulfilled. They are old-fashioned characters, but they're showing us you don't have to give up on what's past, that God will use everything that's brought us to this moment and make it new. Fred Craddock put it this way: God is doing something new, but it's not really new, because hope is joined to memory, and the new is God's keeping his forever promise. Hope is witnessed to us by Simeon and Anna. Hope has been born into the world. Hope has hands and feet. Hope cried when he was hungry. Hope loves and is loved. Hope is the person Jesus. Hope is the Son of God, Jesus. Simeon and Anna's faith witness that hope is alive with us. Interesting. We have the great quotation from Simeon, the great song of Simeon. But Luke does not record Anna's words. Isn't that interesting? I found that really interesting. And I got to thinking, well, she really doesn't have any formal training or schooling. She wouldn't in those days. And so she probably didn't say anything very quotable, but she spoke with God and spoke for God in modest, heartfelt ways. When we share our faith with somebody else, or when we pray with and for people, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to use eloquent language, even if we could say eloquent. We don't have to be quotable. The Lord is happy with simple, sincere prayers rather than just saying the right thing in just the right language. And I love how mysterious these two people are. They suddenly appear on stage and just as suddenly they are gone. God uses us as well in particular times and particular moments. God uses us no matter our backstory. Mother Teresa served God and received a Nobel Prize for her ministry. Those of us who aren't as saintly serve God. And like Anna and Simeon, maybe no one's even noticed for 84 years. All we know is that God does use us. God does call us, that each one of us are called to do God's will in different times and in different places and in different ways. This whole sermon has been about looking at the past, celebrating the past, and moving into the future. It's New Year's Eve tomorrow. That's what we do. We look at the past, we celebrate who we are and who we've been, and then look to the future. It's a great time to remember God's assurance that the future is now and you are God's future and your future is in God's hands and God will take care of you. Because Jesus saves, because God keeps God's eternal word, because you have been filled with faith and hope, the prophet Jeremiah says hope is here. Hope for our world, hope for our church, hope for all of us, and hope for you. For surely I know the plans for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm. To give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and you pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord. Amen.